This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The Alaska legislature failed to override Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of a closely watched election reform bill yesterday afternoon. The override vote failed by 2 votes after 2 Southeast Alaska lawmakers who had previously supported the bill voted no. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, backers said they hoped the bill would make it easier to vote and harder to cheat.
Sometimes in the Alaska legislature, just as in life, timing is everything. Timing is what Governor Dunleavy cited in his message to lawmakers announcing his veto. With the November election just 6 months away, he says there just isn't time to implement a system allowing voters to track and correct minor errors on their absentee ballots. The lawmakers who flipped, Sitka Senator Bert Stedman and Ketchikan Representative Jeremy Bynum, both Republicans, say they agree with Dunleavy's assessment. Here's Bynum.
From the time that the bill was passed to the time that the governor actually got it, there was delay. And then when the governor got it, there was delay.
But Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says there was plenty of time to implement the bill. He pointed to the all-male special primary election following the death of Congressman Don Young in 2022.
Just 5-6 weeks later, the governor's Division of Elections announced that ballot tracking would be available by the company BallotTrax for the June 11, 2022 election. 6 weeks. They got a ballot tracking system set up in 6 weeks. Just 4 years ago.
One caveat on that, it's the lieutenant governor, not the governor, who heads the Division of Elections. And 4 years later, there's a different lieutenant governor and a different director of the Division of Elections. That new Division of Elections director, though, said in March that implementing a tracking system would be, quote, challenging. Not notably that it couldn't be done. And Willikowski says he wishes the administration was up for the challenge.
I'm not prepared to tell Alaskans, sorry, you'll have to wait another year. It's just too hard.
Willikowski and co-sponsor Representative Sarah Vance, a conservative Homer Republican, say they tried to strike a bipartisan balance.
Right now, our system is broken where not every vote is being counted. Our roles have not been tightened up to the level that builds confidence, that ensures people that they have a legal vote.
The bill included prepaid postage on absentee ballots, an elections liaison for rural communities, and better pay for election workers in villages where it's often difficult to find people to staff the polls. And there was a requirement that voters be notified of a data breach, a quicker timeline for reporting results, and provisions aimed at keeping the state's voter rolls correct despite Alaska's transient population. Supporters ranged from the most liberal Democrats to the most conservative Republicans. Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe, who voted to override the governor, offered an apology.
Not for my vote. I stand by my vote on this bill. I'm apologizing to Alaskans who will bear the cost of this veto.
He apologized to members of the military, people living in rural Alaska, and people in Southwest Alaska who were sent the wrong ballots for the 2024 election, among others. Strikingly, neither advocates nor opponents in the legislature claimed the bill would help one party more than another. Timing was the issue. Dunleavy encouraged lawmakers to try again with another bill. Bynum, who flipped from yes to no, said he would vote for a future bill without such a tight timeline. But with just 2.5 weeks to go in the legislative session, that appears unlikely. There just isn't time. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
The University of Alaska system will have a new president this summer. The Board of Regents appointed Fairbanks attorney Matt Cooper to the role last week. He formerly served as general counsel for the university. Cooper will succeed President Pat Pitney, who will retire later this month. Pitney said during Friday's emergency regents meeting she's pleased with the selection and called Cooper a genuine leader.
It makes my stepping down, although always difficult and bittersweet, but makes my stepping down so much easier knowing Matt's going to take on the mantle for the University of Alaska.
Cooper has been an attorney with a private law firm since 2024. Before that, he worked for the university's general counsel office for 13 years. He spent the last 4 years of his tenure with the university as the top legal officer. Cooper was also a member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly from 2015 to 2022, and chaired the Assembly's Ethics Board for 2 years after that, according to his resume. The Board of Regents went through a closed process to find a new president after Pitney announced her retirement last November. According to a university press release, a hiring committee vetted more than 50 applicants and recommended 3 finalists. Student, faculty, staff, and leadership representatives from each campus confidentially met with each finalist and gave feedback to the board. University of Alaska Fairbanks faculty formally opposed the non-transparent process in a resolution in March. Jonathan Taylor, the university's director of public affairs, said in an interview with KTOO the process balanced getting stakeholder input with protecting the confidentiality of candidates.
We've seen in higher education generally, there's a tendency for people who are currently in positions at other universities, whether that be other university presidents or chancellors or deans, to not want to participate if there's going to be a public finalist evaluation process.
He says a public process can create risk for candidates that are not selected and impact their careers in the long term. Regent Karen Perdue says the confidential feedback from university community members helped inform the board's decision.
One of the things that I felt was so important with the comments about Matt was pretty much a broad agreement that he's a very good listener. He's a very collaborative individual. That has been his history at the university.
Cooper's starting compensation package will be close to $430,000, which is about $2,000 greater than Pitney's package for this year. Pitney's last day is May 21st. Cooper's expected first day is August 3rd. Vice President of University Relations Michelle Rizik will serve as the interim president in between. Bethel resident Rick Robb has entered the 2026 race to represent Senate District S in the Alaska Legislature, covering Bristol Bay, much of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and the entire Aleutian chain. The 68-year-old is a licensed professional counselor and has worked for decades in behavioral health. Robb says he first came to Bethel while exploring Alaska in the summer of 88, and he never left. He says he cherishes his years taking part in the since-closed commercial salmon fishery on the Kuskokwim River. He also served for the better part of a decade on the Bethel City Council and spent 4 of those years as mayor. Robb is running as a nonpartisan to, quote, put people before politics. He recently spoke to me, KYUK's Evan Erickson, about his candidacy. This interview has been edited for length and clarity. What role do you believe the state should play in subsistence issues in rural Alaska? And you're right in the heart of that question here on the Kuskokwim River.
We are right in the heart of subsistence. Subsistence is life for people out here. Believe it or not, I do a lot of subsistence activities myself. That's one of the things that made me come in love with this place, is that I can, you know, catch fish, hunt game, feed my family, help out the community with wild game, berry picking, things like that. We have to protect it. We have to promote it. We have to make sure it's allowed under state regulations. With any, you know, we have to make sure allow people have access to it. We have to make sure the regulations actually correspond to traditional times and seasons when the game are around. So mm-hmm. I think big support.
What is your stance on the proposed Donlin Gold Mine?
Donlin Gold Mine. That's actually a tough one for me. I wrote it down here. Okay, so, you know, in the past, I have recognized Donlin's potential to bring jobs and economic development to the Kuskokwim region. And in the past, I did support it. After listening to people and concerns for many, many years, realized there's also potential for long-term catastrophic environmental damage and this could damage our important fisheries, our way of life. And I've decided that the environmental risk is too great and the mine should not move forward. And I've heard the voices of the people in the tribes that have spoken against the mine. People here should not be subject to a project of this magnitude when there is so much popular objection and opposition. So I have changed my opinion from the past. I do believe, though, if the mine does go forward, and if I was in the state senate, the legislature, as the governing body of the unorganized borough, I would definitely push to get a payment in lieu of taxes agreement similar to the one that the Northwest Arctic Borough has with the Red Dog Mine. And that could bring a lot of important, fund a lot of important projects in our region. So I definitely think that the legislature should act as the governing body of the unorganized borough and pursue a payment in lieu of taxes with them.
Are there any specific initiatives or things you would want to get right into if you were elected?
Well, a big one is fisheries, supporting our fisheries, both our subsistence and our commercial fishing. You know, we used to have commercial fishing on the Kuskokwim, and that's gone away, and the reasons, both with the collapse of the salmon industries and lack of buyers. So I think we should pursue that. I think we have to address trawlers and, you know, bycatch on the high seas. I think that's definitely impacting our fisheries. Education is important. We need to have stable education funding for our schools going forward. Once again, it shouldn't be a political back and forth with the legislature. I know there was an idea kicked around in the legislature this year about an educational endowment fund that was kicked around, but I think that's a very good idea that we have an educational endowment fund. You know, we could put, the state could put money away, and over time it would grow and maybe provide some stable funding for education. We have our PCE endowment fund, power cost equalization, to help bring down our electric bills. It's important to protect that. Well, once again, we have to do something. State has to be more active in, you know, protecting the people. You know, the murdered and missing indigenous people campaign. You know, I think that the state should do more law enforcement. We need to have adequate law enforcement. We can't let these when people disappear and you know, murdered and missing indigenous people and mostly women. You know, we can't just let them be cold cases that drift away. We have to investigate. We have to protect our people.
That was Rick Robb, who is running to represent Senate District S in the Alaska Legislature, speaking with me, KYUK's Evan Erickson. Rick Robb volunteers at KYUK as host of the weekly music show Rick's Rock, but is not compensated for that time. Find a longer version of this interview by visiting kyuk.org. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Kwiana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit coming up.